This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Chris, I'm talking to RJ yesterday about the show. I mentioned the wedding. I said, can't wait for your wedding. And he talks about his honeymoon. And then he says, so after Rick marries us.
Hold on, excuse me?
I said, what?
Hold on, Rico is marrying RJ and his fiance?
Here's what we have. We have a faction of the show. The show is fractured. And I can't tell you how upset I am.
This is DCR.
Now, they're like Bonnie and Clyde.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Now you're just laughing at the whole thing. Now you're going to play it up like it's not a big deal and make fun of me. I just wanted to be involved.
You're going to the wedding. You are involved.
Nah, not really. I'm just.
What do you mean not really?
Joe, you're doing the wedding.
I was legitimately asked yesterday at 11:30 if I would do the wedding.
Okay.
11:30.
Look at you backing away.
I'm not backing away.
Skulking.
I'm ordained. I've done multiple weddings. You're not ordained.
How did you
have
become ordained?
Done a wedding.
Tell me your years of training to become ordained.
Multiple years.
What did
multiple.
You do? I want an honest answer of how you became ordained.
I mean, it's just wedding after wedding after wedding. I'm
what did
vows
you do
in Italy.
To become
I'm
ordained?
Learning Russian to speak Russian at the wedding.
Chris, he can't
Latin.
Answer the question. He
yeah,
won't
you
answer the
straight,
question.
You can't get a straight answer from him, Dave.
How,
he's not gonna
how
do
does one? How did you become ordained?
Well, I mean, a few trips to the monastery, spent some time with the monks.
You're such a liar. I know what you did. You took like an online test.
Correct.
And that's what you did. So did it take more or less than 10 minutes for you to become ordained?
More than 10 minutes. Yeah, okay. More than 10 minutes.
More or less than
but it was
30.
Less than, it was less than what it takes for him to prepare for an open, though, Dave.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you also have to take into account the multiple hours that I work with the couple to make sure everything is perfect.
So will you meet with RJ and Ange to kind of get to know them a little bit better before the wedding?
Yes. We'll sit down. I mean, there's a lot of materials we have to go over, what they want to do for vows. The rings, what you would like me to say, well, I'm presenting the rings, all sorts of different things.
Why would you present the rings?
Well, no, as they present the rings, I got to say stuff while they're presenting the rings, what the rings stand for and everything else. If there's any information they'd like me to work in about the couple or how they met or anything like that. RJ's boshing, anything like that, his love for the Niners and the Sabres and everything else.
Do you get that in there? Like his
it's up to him.
Fandom?
It's up to him.
See,
really,
look, he's got answers for everything. Dave, if you were to be ordained and you get one or two under your belt, you could be considered.
You know what? Had I known that you were looking for this, I would have gone and gotten ordained.
I don't believe you.
I think that provides a problem for you personally.
Well, how so?
I don't know if that's allowed for you.
Why not? I could do whatever I want. This guy gets gets ordained online. What do you have, a slip of paper that says Rick DiPietro from some unknown university is now ordained?
No. That's some slip. Stop
a slip of paper, please.
No, it's a beautiful card certificate.
You know what's going to happen? He's going to marry them, Chris, and 40 years later when they have like grandkids and they've lived this glorious life, he's going to find out they were never really married.
Wow. Somehow, some way, Rick DiPietro wasn't actually certified
yeah, he's not really
to officiate
ordained.
The wedding.
Now, I don't know why you want to do this to poor RJ. And I know Ange is listening too. She's going to be disgusted with you. You're going to get your invitation revoked. This is what's going to happen.
All right, then revoke the invitation.
Doesn't matter, Dave. You're showing up anyway.
Of course I will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You'll be there anyway. Yeah.
So this movie, and we'll get to the Rangers and the Knicks in just a moment, it does exist. It is the positively true adventures of the alleged Texas cheerleader murdering mom. It was a 1993 TV movie with Holly Hunter. Wanda Holloway tries to hire a hitman to kill either or both the cheerleader and the mother. With the intended victims out of the way, Wanda's daughter gets the chance to become the head cheerleader. When the media gets hold of the story, it's to no surprise, Wanda's trial turns into a media circus.
That's a little overboard.
Yeah, you think?
It's a little crazy in Texas. A little crazy.
You think that's a little overboard?
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Like, that's ridiculous.
Apparently to Wanda and her daughter, it was a big deal.
Well, obviously, I mean, you're hiring a hitman. I couldn't even imagine that. So this is what we're going to do.
Right.
Just to make sure that you win.
Why do you need me? So I'm a hitman. Why exactly do you need me? I want my daughter to be head cheerleader and you go take care of her and the mother and then she can get that role. Even the hitmen are like, listen, lady, you're crazy. You got some real issues, lady. All right. Let's get – we haven't talked about the Knicks at all. We'll get to the Knicks and then the Rangers as well. The Knicks last night for me, I just – you know what? It happened. It was awful. They looked like they didn't want to play in that game. It happens. I don't think it's a huge deal with the way they've played of late.
No, it was awful. I mean, that first quarter was terrible.
Terrible.
Awful. I mean,
first minute.
First minute. I mean, fouls. Tibbs gets teed up. They had 12 points in the first quarter. I mean, it was sloppy. You're missing layups, free throws. Yeah, it was bad. And we haven't seen this much, especially, I mean, obviously not during this run where they won 12 or 13. You haven't seen this, but, I mean, Denver's coming off a loss. The Knicks, I mean, Denver's a house of horrors for the Knicks. They haven't won a game in Denver since, what, 2006?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you saw what Jokic, why he's probably going
to be. Oh, he made a statement in that first quarter last night.
Are you sure he had 24 points?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident with that. I mean, it felt like he heard the noise about Julius Randle and said, hold my beer here. Hang on a minute.
Yeah, plus the Nuggets were coming off a disappointing loss to the Lakers. So it felt like it was the perfect storm for the Knicks to kind of let a bad one happen. I mean, it was just, you know, you got this West Coast road trip. You got no margin for error. The team is playing at altitude. So it's like all of these different factors going into the team having a sluggish start. And you just can't afford to have that kind of start against a Denver Nuggets team that has that kind of urgency to try to stay at the top of the Western Conference. So I don't know that you can put much stock into the loss that the Knicks had last night. Now it's just on to the next one, playing the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night.
And, of course, Phoenix just got their doors blown in by Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah.
Atlanta. That's great.
Lost by like 30. Yeah, listen, we knew this was going to be a rough road ahead for the Knicks. Here is the head coach of the Knicks, Tom Thibodeau. What do you take away from the game last night?
We always say we either win or we learn. And so I think we learned a lot, but there's a lot of fight in this team. So I think they ended up shooting 37-38%. But the rebounding was a problem. And then, of course, you know, the free throws. And so I want to take a look at the film. It was a physical game, and, you know, it was tough. It went against us.
Yeah, I mean, you were 18 and 27.
Yeah, they got
the free throw line.
The game was non-competitive.
From
the opening tip to the end of the game, you never once felt like the Knicks had a chance to win that game.
No, I mean, the only Knick that had it going a little bit in the first half was Derrick Rose. That was it. I mean, R.J. Barrett was bad for a while. Then he hits the three threes. But no, anytime they looked like they were going to attempt to make a run, Denver was like, nope, not going to happen. And I got to watch Austin Rivers drop 25.
Yeah, I know, right?
Driving me crazy.
I mean, Gordon adds a lot to that team as well. Let's go to Phil in Brooklyn. Phil, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN. Hello, Phil.
Hello, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for calling, Phil. What do you got?
No, I'm just, I want to make a comment about Elfrid Payton. I'm not going to knock what Tibbs is doing this year because it's the finally I'm excited about these Knicks, but this guy Payton's driving me nuts, man. His plus minus is just, it's horrendous.
Well, Phil, let me ask you this, though. What do you want? You can play Derrick Rose 27 minutes a game. What do you want to do at point guard when Rose is not in the game?
Listen, you know what, the comments I'm hearing by a lot of people is, you know, they got this guy Payton there for his system, the defense. I'd rather have Frenchie in there. I know it might sound crazy to some people, but Frenchie doesn't make bonehead mistakes, and he doesn't look lost out there.
Frank doesn't do much of anything. Frank doesn't do much of anything is the problem. That's why he's not
unplayable, Phil. He's unplayable at this point.
I agree, but he's a defender. So if across the board people
But
clearly Tibbs doesn't trust him, though. That's why he's not playing.
He's not playing because
the head coach doesn't trust
him. Because he's from France.
And you've heard Tibbs come out and say, you know, he appreciates what Elfrid Payton brings to the table defensively. So, like, that's the guy that's going to be in that starter's role. That's the guy that's going to share the minutes at the point guard position with Derrick Rose. And we realize Derrick Rose can't play 40 minutes. He can't do that. That's not going to be his role. He's going to play 25 to 30 plus minutes coming off of the bench, and that's been a weapon for this Knicks team all season long when Rose has been healthy. So, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to go upset in the apple cart. I know Elfrid Payton doesn't bring a lot to the table offensively, but the fact that the head coach trusts him and the fact that it has worked out for the most part having him in that role, I think you got to stick with that formula.
I agree. And it's not like they haven't played well. What are they, 12-2 in their last 14 games?
Yes.
Some people, they just can't enjoy success, huh?
No, they can't live in the moment. Hey, listen, Alfred Payton, I mean, he's definitely inconsistent as far as the scoring is concerned.
I don't love him either. But I
no,
think the,
I don't think
the
anyone loves
have.
Him. No, I don't think anyone loves him. Like, he's not, he wouldn't be my first option. But under the current circumstances where, you know, Derrick Rose can't play a ton of minutes, Quickley's still a rookie, and with that starting unit, you're going to take the defense because when you're counting on Julius Randle, Bullock, and R.J. Barrett to be the guys that score with that first unit.
Mm-hmm.
And Julius Randle wasn't good last night offensively. Neither was R.J. Barrett for a long stretch of time. So, I mean, again, and you're playing an elite team. Even without Jamal Murray, that's still an elite team.
Absolutely it is. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests on DCR appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Goodyear knows from here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs, and it takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear more driven. Chris, I did a little investigative work. It's very easy to get ordained. You can go to the Universal Life Church or American Marriage Ministries and be ordained within the next 12 to 15 minutes.
Will you consider doing either before RJ and Angie's wedding so you can help Rick preside over said wedding?
I will tell you this. If RJ said, if you do this, you will preside over the wedding, I will do it today.
We'll make you a bridesmaid. How's that?
Wow. I don't want to be a bridesmaid.
I feel like you and Rico could tag team that thing. You both can be a part of marrying RJ.
You don't think I would be more than competent at helping you along with the wedding?
I would actually involve Dave in a tag team. Because as soon as that, I mean, Dave gets naked, she's like, whoa. How lucky am I to have you? Thank God.
You're skirting the issue again. You're skirting the issue again.
Call you the plus two.
You're skirting.
Why do you care what I'm wearing?
All right. I'm going to go to these American Life Ministries, Universal Life Church, get this done, kick you to the side, I'll take over, RJ.
But here's the problem. You don't just go straight to the big leagues. I need you to go marry a couple of people in, you know, smaller venues and really get comfortable in the space.
What do I need to do, like an A-level wedding, like an A-ball wedding, and then come up to you for the big league stuff? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, that's right. Even the best, you know, baseball prospects, you got to start lower.
Not Bryce Harper. He went right to the big league.
So you're saying you're Bryce Harper?
I could be.
We don't know that, though.
But I might be.
What if you're terrible?
You got to start out in a nice little backyard wedding.
I'll do a backyard wedding. I will get ordained this week, and I will make my services up for offer. Anybody that would like me to marry them, I will do it. I will do 3 to 5 before your wedding, and then I will do your wedding.
Then we can talk. I'll tell you, though.
I don't want to then talk. If you make that offer to me, I will do it.
3 to 5, and you're
three
in.
3 to 5.
Yep, 3 to 5. You're in.
So hang on a second.
I don't understand how I'm the bad guy in this situation. You're petitioning to take my job on the radio while I'm sitting here.
Yeah, that's right. So 3 to 5, I get ordained, I do 3 to 5 weddings, you now lock me in as the man that will marry you and Ange.
I will, because I'm calling your bluff. I don't think you'll do it.
So. Oh, I'll do it. Now here's what I need the couples. So if you would like me to marry you,
I'm
once
not
I'm ordained.
I'm not lining them up for you.
What?
I'm not going to line people up for you.
Why?
So, well, why would I do that? You need to get out there, hand out some flyers. I don't know. Have a
no. This is my version of handing out flyers. If you would like me to marry you once I'm ordained later today, I would love to do it. 1-800-919-3776.
I don't feel comfortable with this. This feels nefarious.
It's not. There's no nefery at all.
I think you're just trying to make more money now. You're trying to just bring more
outlets. I would not charge. No.
So Billy from...
This is a dangerous game you're playing right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is a dangerous game you're playing.
Billy
Untucked
from,
matrimony.
Billy from Ronkonkoma calls in, and you got to be there next Saturday. Dave Rothenberg on the spot.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. But I swear to God, if I do 3 to 5 weddings and I get excellent reviews and you don't use me at your wedding, I will never talk to you again.
Well, that's the game I'm playing, I guess.
All right. So don't make some kind of idle offer if you're not going to follow it up.
I'm looking right
this
back at
amazing.
You.
This is amazing.
Phone lines are lighting up, by the way. People want me to marry them. 800-919-3776.
I hope you get abducted at one of these weddings. I hope that's what happens. I hope they keep you as a prisoner in the house.
Like he keeps Andy in his basement.
Exactly right.
Want me to be abducted?
I hope they lure you to one of these events where you're supposed to be marrying them. You show up in a beautiful suit, and then they put a bag over your head and lock you up in the closet.
Like Saw?
Yes.
Or Hostel?
Oh, no.
Like misery. I want you to wake up and you're in the chained to the bed.
Oh, and they're hammering my legs? What's
like
the matter with you?
Like Vince Vaughn in Wedding Crashers. You want to play tummy sticks? No, I don't want to play tummy sticks.
I would do a beautiful, beautiful wedding. Now, RJ, this is a good point someone just tweeted to me. How about if I renew vows? Does that count?
Yes.
That counts? So if I renew 3 to 5 wedding vows, Chris, now I'm in to perform RJ's wedding.
Yeah, I feel like the renewal of vows counts. Now, maybe it's a half, so you'd have to do 2 renewals to count as 1 wedding, but I like it. I think that should be incorporated into your account.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. I will become ordained later this week, and if you want me to perform your wedding leading up to RJ's big extravaganza, I would absolutely go ahead and do that for you. I need a couple of cacaws here. Is what I'm going to need.
I wouldn't do it, RJ. Don't do it.
No,
let him cacaw himself.
And another one. Adam Schefter with a tweet. You didn't see this tweet then, did you, Rick?
The Aaron Rodgers tweet, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Okay. Packers have begun exploring quarterbacks they can add to their roster for OTAs and training camp, per sources. Jordan Love currently is the only other quarterback on the roster, but the team also faces uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Packers quarterback search includes some veterans. So it's another step in the sign of maybe Aaron Rodgers not long-term for these Green Bay Packers, Chris.
Yeah, it'll be real interesting to see who they end up bringing in, Dave, whether they go with a veteran guy or just a college free agent. Like, typically you're going to go into training camp with 3 or 4 quarterbacks. That's just what it is. Like, there was no way that even if they didn't have this Aaron Rodgers mess, the Packers were just going to camp with him and Jordan Love. But the fact that the search is kind of branching out to veteran players, that just leads you to believe that their general manager is feeling a little bit of that uncertainty with the situation surrounding Aaron Rodgers. Like, there's a real possibility that he might not show up and that he's going to try to force the organization's hand in order to move him. So, I mean, they got to brace themselves. Like, they got to prepare themselves for life after Aaron Rodgers, which should include bringing in a veteran quarterback that can help bring Jordan Love along, because the Jordan Love era is probably going to start a lot sooner than they anticipated.
Well, they got to protect themselves, too, in case it does happen where Aaron Rodgers wants to really make this thing messy and sit out if they don't trade him. Jordan Love's not ready to play.
No. Doesn't sound it.
I mean, everybody that we've talked to, everybody that I've asked, said, now he's not, I mean, because of what happened with the pandemic and everything else, he wasn't even the backup quarterback. He was the third string quarterback. So he's getting no work. He was doing scout team stuff, but he was getting no work. So to go from that, I mean, with this team.
Could
you imagine
going from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love or someone at that level?
No, and Greeny said this yesterday on Get Up. And I couldn't agree with him more. If it turns out that as we get through this process and we'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers, say they trade Aaron Rodgers to Denver or wherever it ends up being, and he goes on to continue to be Aaron Rodgers for the next couple of years, maybe Denver wins the Super Bowl, and Jordan Love can't play, like he's just not good, that could be one of the worst draft picks in the history of the sport.
History of the sport. Because it could be the beginning of the end for the franchise. And you went from Favre to Rodgers to what?
But here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, if Jordan Love can't play, it's a disaster. But here's the thing. I don't think the decision to draft Jordan Love is the biggest misstep in this whole situation. I think the misstep is not communicating to Aaron Rodgers beforehand that was a part of their draft day plans for 2020. Like, I mean, you look at this past year's draft, the 49ers let Jimmy Garoppolo know. The Minnesota Vikings let Kirk Cousins know. Like, there's a strong possibility that we're going to draft a quarterback. Like, that's just table stakes when it comes to dealing with quarterbacks in today's NFL. And for the Packers to treat Aaron Rodgers like he's just any other old player on the team.
When you know he's a sensitive guy.
When you know he's sensitive and you know how good he is, Dave. Like, that to me is just a complete lack of awareness. And now they have nobody to blame but themselves for being backed into this corner by their star quarterback.
Yeah, but even more than that, though, Chris, I mean... I don't know how true this is, but I've heard it a couple different times that the Packers GM kind of went rogue making the pick. Like it was his decision to trade up and try to get Jordan Love. I just don't know, like even if you had called Aaron Rodgers and said, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to trade up and draft Jordan Love. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm looking at this team. We just got our teeth kicked in by San Francisco because our defense stinks. And then our first two picks are going to be a quarterback who's not going to play, won't even be on the field, won't even be dressing for games. And then a running back in the second round. When we already have 2 really good running backs, like we don't want to upgrade the defense maybe a little bit.
Yeah, the one flaw with the team. If you're Mark Murphy, don't you sit there and talk to Rodgers and say if I fire this guy, does this go away?
Yeah, but that's a slippery slope, Dave, not just for the Green Bay Packers, but for the rest of the teams around the National Football League. You don't want to get into the business of letting players dictate the personnel in your front office and your hierarchical structure.
Patriots
like, you don't
did.
Want to do that.
Patriots did. It worked out for them.
Did what?
They traded Jimmy Garoppolo because Brady didn't want Jimmy Garoppolo on the team.
Yeah, but it's not like they fired the general manager or the head coach. And I think that's a little bit different. Like, trading players is one thing. I'm talking about the personnel in your front office.
No, I know what you're saying, but it's essentially the same thing. I mean, you're neutering your GM, and that ends up being Bill Belichick. But, I mean, you're dictating to Bill Belichick what he has to do. And he loves Jimmy Garoppolo.
Getting rid of a player and getting rid of a general manager are completely different things, though, bro. Like, that's a different ball game. That's a different ball of wax. And I don't think any NFL team wants their star players putting them in that type of position. So, I mean, it's a dangerous precedent if Mark Murphy were to follow through on this and say, you know what, we're going to get rid of Brian Gutekunst because that's what Aaron Rodgers wants, and coming off of an MVP season, he has that type of leverage. Like, I just feel like that's a slippery slope. I'm not saying that that's not a decision that they end up making. What I'm saying is I just feel like that's dangerous territory, especially for a quarterback that's in his late 30s.
Listen, I understand what you're saying, and very rarely, I mean, that doesn't happen in sports, right? Like, players don't dictate, you know, whether the GM gets fired or not.
Yeah.
I would imagine, though, if they had a legitimate owner of that team, and, you know, most owners are kind of involved, right? Like, they're not as hands-on as some owners, but they like to know what the hell is going on. If I'm the owner of the Green Bay Packers, and I see how this thing is unfolding, and I'm watching these practices where Jordan Love's not even on the field, and when he is, he's not very good, and I'm thinking to myself, God, my GM really screwed this thing up. Like, what are we doing here?
He really did.
To the point where the face of my franchise, who could help us win a Super Bowl over the next couple of years here, who was just the MVP of the league, would rather not play than be a Green Bay Packer. He doesn't have to tell me to fire the GM. I'm probably going to fire the GM on my own.
There you go.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Hey, it's Friday.
Right, even though it's Thursday, it's Friday here. On 98.7 ESPN.
You know what, for me,
great
it's Friday.
Job. Santiago is really on the ball.
He had me convinced it was Friday. I just got excited.
You know, you're singing, and I'm like, wait a minute, today's not Friday? I mean, Santi is really on the ball this morning. And then he's playing it. You're singing, it's Friday. We're like, wait a minute, what are you in cahoots with him? Is this another thing? Now you and Raymond are in cahoots against me with something?
No, we're having serious conversations during the break. Just like, we don't know where this whole thing is headed with you.
What do you mean as far as me performing the wedding?
I just did everything. Like, I mean, it starts with the poor heavyset people. You went after them. People with diabetes, you turned them off. And now all of a sudden you open up this door, this Pandora's box, where you're going to do new weddings.
But I'm not a doorman. I'm not trying to open doors.
I think you're saying no to.
And vow renewals as well. Buddy, my
these people are serious.
He says, Christine and I are going to renew our vows later this year. You can absolutely do ours. I said, is it prior to late August, which is when RJ's is? He said, oh, no, October 5th. Sorry. I said, I'll still do it for you. I said, just not on a football Sunday. And he said, LOL. And that's true.
I don't believe a word you're saying. There's going to be a lot of hurt feelings.
Why?
Like, because you're turning off a lot of different people. Because people
and
are serious. They're asking
Steve
this
sends
serious.
Me a text. He said, did I ever tell you that Robin and I wanted to renew our vows? I said, I'll do it. And then he says, will the ceremony be conducted in Hebrew? I said, I'll do whatever you'd like. He said, this is quite the customer-centric enterprise you're running over here. I said, I'm a man of the people.
Yeah, I don't know what's next. I mean, this could lead into a whole different foray for you.
It could lead into an additional source of revenue as well.
Yeah, prostitution, like, I don't know what's
prostitution.
I mean, you could be offering up your body.
How dare you urinate on the sanctity of marriage with conversation like that?
Oh, let's be honest, too. I mean, part of my job at Mary and RJ and
by the end of the day, I'm going to be a man of the cloth. How dare you do that?
Yeah, more like a man of the rag. Part of my duties as the guy who's officiating this beautiful, beautiful wedding is that at any point during this marriage, that RJ needs to pick up the phone and have, you know, a serious conversation about,
well, like counsel.
Exactly right.
So you're of counsel, as I will be as well.
Well, who do you think, or who do the people think is more qualified to have those conversations, me or the guy who goes AWOL from his family because of a regular season Giants loss?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what the answer to that would be.
I mean,
you're
think
the
you know
man
the
that checks to make sure the oven is off after 5, 6, 8, 10 times.
For the safety of my family. God forbid they get the gas
on. Stove, refrigerator, freezer.
Freezer's a big one right now. I don't want to screw up the ice.
I mean, if you leave that freezer open and it frosts over and things rot away, I mean, that could be a life-changing event.
Yeah, no, no kidding. Because today, I mean, today's G Day. Today's grocery store day. My least favorite day of the week.
Daniel Jones conversation on KJZ coming up at 8 o'clock, and right after the Daniel Jones conversation, I'm sure you've cheated and looked.
What are they having Daniel Jones conversation today for?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to their producer. But guess who? Guess who's going to be joining the show at 8:10?
What?
I believe one. The man with the silver, beautiful,
the silver
mullet.
Fox. That's right.
I invested my life in this sport.
Going to let his freak flag fly.
That's right.
I do well.
The great Don LaGreca.
He's been on there a couple times.
He's great.
Yeah!
Well, and he called the game last night.
Of course.
Yeah!
That's the genesis of him being on the show.
Yeah!
The Diamond Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, a proud member of the Pepe Auto Group and the McAllen
there you go.
Double Cast.
That's why you can't do the wedding. You can't even
scotch.
Speak.
You know what? When you do a wedding, do you do it in three-word bursts like you do the open? Welcome to the Santillo wedding.
Good Thursday morning.
Yep. Then I get I'll have the incense out. I'm just going
to lot to get into
that
today.
A little bit. Bless people.
Do you dress in special garb?
With the chisholm, which is the oil.
Excuse me?
No, it's the,
what are you handing out?
It's the holy oil.
Oh.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sip up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter.
That's so good. You can see how you described it so well, too. Oh
my God. You know when you go to a diner and you can sip up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Yeah, the counter.
Oh, it's so good.
You can almost hear the disdain.
Where you know you can uncover the muffins up there. What is that thing called?
You can almost hear the disdain in your voice, too. You're like, the counter?
Because I couldn't believe that you were thinking of the counter. How about Lindor not playing in that second game of the doubleheader last night, huh?
Yeah, we're at that point now. I mean, he's been bad. And then on top of that, in that first game, he had the big error, the big throwing error. And that's the one thing you could say about him. He hasn't let his struggles at the plate affect his defense. But, I mean, and again, that could be a one-off. But, I mean, he's said that this is officially a slump for him now.
Come on. He's been awful. We are now what? The Mets are they 12-13? Is that right?
Yeah, but I mean, you say that, but no, I mean, no one wants to admit that.
But how could you not admit it? You're a sixth of the way through the season. He's
because
well,
we have his we don't do stuff like that. We want to pretend like everything is okay. Oh no, I'll snap out of this. I'm going to snap out of this. No big deal. I'll snap out of it. Yeah, and right now, I mean, it hasn't gotten any better.
No,
it has not.
No, if I would have told you that Nito would have better nights than Lindor, you would have thought I was absolutely crazy.
I actually almost came in with little Nito song.
Don't
tacos, burritos, a little home run from Nito's.
I kind of like that. But, yeah, I mean, Mets at it again this afternoon, and I think you have to be concerned at this point about Lindor. I mean, Rick, he's been that bad so far this season.
Yeah, but he's so talented, man. I mean, he's so talented.
But it's not like he's having good at-bats. He looks lost.
No, he looks lost. And there's a lot, I mean, I would imagine there's a lot going on there too, right? I mean, coming from a guy who signed a really long-term deal for a lot of money, like it does change things. It really does. And that was with my same team, with the same fan base. This is all of a sudden, this is a new team, new league. I mean, high expectations. And he just hasn't been able to snap out of this thing. He has not. And
And
you can tell mentally, at some point, like you saw his body language too after he made that throw. Like he's like, ugh, now this. Like as if not hitting was enough, now this.
Right.
And of course, it's DeJong who hits the home run too, because he owns the Mets.
He hit the ball hard last night. Even in the second game, he hit the ball hard.
Dude, every time that guy, he kills us.
And he hits like 170. But against the Mets, he's really that good. But listen, lose the first game. Second game, much, much better. You agree with me, right? If you need a spot starter, it's no longer Lucchese. It's Yamamoto
Lucchese,
from now on.
Yeah, we're past Lucchese.
See, now why can't you jump on that? With everything negative I say or wrong I say, you make sure to bring that back. Do you remember the other day when I said it should be Yamamoto over Lucchese? Where's that?
No, you're right. No, I didn't disagree with you at the time either.
No, but how about giving me a little credit?
I am giving you credit. I agree with you at the time. I thought that, I mean, listen, Lucchese hasn't been good. I just think it was the fact that they had Lucchese there, and then, you know, they would expect to pitch him, and then all of a sudden you find out with DeGrom and his, you know, his lat, that, okay, we're going to have to, for a bit of an emergency here, we're going to go with an opener. And then you brought in Yamamoto, and then had, I mean, Pilar was really good. And you got that. You got a big win, but
yep.
It's a problem. If Francisco Lindor doesn't turn this thing around and start hitting,
but do you really worry that he won't? Like, he's not going to have a year where he hits 170.
No, I would imagine not. I think he's too talented. I'll tell you what did worry me. I was reading some of the stuff last night. I didn't even realize this when we talked about it with the whole Chili Davis thing going down and how it, you know, the report was it had been, you know, something that they'd been talking about for, you know, a week leading into the firing. They just, do you realize the day they did it is when they told Luis Rojas? Like, it wasn't like, hey, Luis, what do you think about this? It's just like,
he had no idea, huh?
No, hey, by the way, we're going to fire Chili Davis.
Did they at least tell him before they did it?
Yeah, they told him before they did it, but they didn't. Well, but they didn't even ask his opinion.
Well, I don't think they care what he thinks.
Well, obviously,
but how many managers in baseball do you think could fight back with that? You think if Aaron Boone didn't want his hitting coach to be fired, that he could stand in the way of that?
No, probably not. But I mean, just as far as like, because you know, at some point he's going to be asked about it. Like, even if you're not going to, even if you don't value his opinion, at least make him feel like he's a part of it.
That's right.
So it's not so blatant.
That's right. I mean, discuss it with him, and if he says no, we got to keep him, then you can kind of sell the argument of why you need to move on from him. So it's kind of a made in conjunction.
Yeah, I don't even think you question now. Like, Luis, I mean, it's just, Luis Rojas is not making decisions.
No, he's a puppet. And that's the Diamond Report, powered by Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains can make your dreams of owning a luxury vehicle a reality. Stop in, or they'll come to you for an at-home test drive. You can visit PepeAutoGroup.com to shop all their luxury brands and the Macallan Double Cask 12-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey, the perfect balance of American and European sherry season oak casks, two worlds, one Macallan, imported by Edrington Americas. Please enjoy responsibly. All right, I can take you in one of two directions right now. I have a very, very early Todd McShay mock draft for 2022, or we can get to some calls on the lines. You tell me.
I think we hold off on the mock draft.
You want to get some of these calls.
Yeah, I mean, that's like Canty asking Feinbaum who's going to win the Heisman next year.
Yeah, but you want to hear it, no?
Yeah, I want to hear it. But, I mean, to my surprise, today isn't Friday. Today is actually Thursday, so we have tomorrow to get into it.
We do. I can't believe Santiago played the you know, it's Friday. So
he hasn't slept, man.
It's Friday for me, technically.
It's not Friday for anybody.
For me, it is.
Oh, you guys will rationalize anything, huh?
We got afternoon baseball today, too.
Listen, if you're going to attack me, I'm just going to go with it. So,
how do you rationalize
baseball today?
Today is Friday.
I told you.
Confused. He said 2 hours of sleep. What do you expect from this guy?
2 hours. I think you're being generous.
An hour and 10 minutes he slept. And then on top of it, I made him cut sound for me for the open. He's doing a lot, Dave.
Look at you. You'll defend anybody but me in a big moment. Spike in St. Petersburg.
You just try to take my job live on the radio.
Well, I'm going to get that job. Spike in St. Petersburg. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Leave Ray alone. He's sleep deprivation, and he produced a stinker of a game. I'm giving him a mulligan. One mulligan because they're going to practice 3 hours today. By the way, I put the Ranger game on last night, and it looks like a hockey game broke out of a boxing match. Man, that wasn't even interesting to me. It really wasn't.
No, come on, Spike. They had to do it. They had to do it.
No.
That was the only response.
No, I understand. But it just, after the second one, you know, the game was meaningless. It's just, I understand as an athlete, you've got to cover your ass. But the Knicks, listen, they never had a chance. They got beaten so badly off the boards. I didn't see the box score, but they must have been out-rebounded by 20 to 25. And you can't win. They got there. Listen, we'll see what happens next time. You got to know that Thibodeau's going to, you know, run them through every drill he has, and they're going to come out and play good. You know, I want another win on this trip, boys.
Yeah, they got rebounded by 22.
That's a big number.
Yeah, they did nothing well, though. I mean, really, even their defense wasn't great.
It was a stinker. Listen, you followed up with what do you have? You have Suns, Clippers, Lakers, right?
Yeah, but the Suns just came off they just got beat down by Atlanta.
Give me 1 and 2. Give me 1 and 2, and then you have 3 games remaining, right?
See, this is what I need. I need everyone in Julius Randle's family to make up stories that he's been like every one of these teams that he's playing against, because you know he's going to show up against the Lakers because he was a Laker. Maybe hopefully the Clippers too. But like, just say, you know, Julius. For a short period, we also lived here, and we lived in Phoenix for a minute.
That's right.
We also lived in Atlanta for a
little bit.
And the
Lakers got rid of you. They didn't want you.
The Lakers hated you. They traded you. Because in those games, he's been phenomenal all season.
Or hopefully LeBron doesn't play in that game as well. Maybe the Clippers just take this game, and it's like, you know what, George, Kawhi, they're not going to play.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, would you be surprised if...
No. I don't think anything would surprise you.
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Let's go to Paulie in Wantagh. Good morning, Paulie.
Hmm. about the Rangers. The first of this. Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up, Paulie? How are you? Santiago, a little slow on the trigger there.
Yeah, no problem. I wanted to ask you guys a couple of things on the Rangers. But first, I just want to say, Rick, as a Rangers fan, I spent many years rooting against you, but I've become a fan since you're on the radio. You do a great job, buddy.
Thanks, pal.
So where do you think that the Rangers go from here? I mean, I think that do you think that Quinn goes, and do you think that Messier has a role in the organization? And in terms of guys who you expected to respond last night, the first guy I thought of was Brendan Smith.
Yep.
And he did respond, but you got to have someone in the lineup that people fear. And I feel like you don't have that. Kind of feels disappointing that you thought that this team was going to make the next step this year, and they didn't because they had a nice balance between young guys and vets. Where do you think they go from here? Do you think that there's a coaching change? And you think that maybe they make a strong run with a guy like Ryan Reeves or something?
Well, I know they tried to get Matt Martin. I've said that a couple different times, and that didn't work out. You also have, and again, in one of those situations where a team was physical, yeah, Matt Martin, you know, knocks out Trouba. I expected Smith to step up the way that he stepped up. I didn't necessarily know if it was going to be fight Tom Wilson, but he did that, and I give him tons of credit for that. I was told don't be surprised if a coaching change is made, and you know how much I care about Bill Quinney and how much I love him, but, I mean, that's kind of usually what happens when they make this kind of change, is that the new guy comes in and brings his own guy with him.
His own guy in, of course.
But there's a connection there, though, too. I mean, Chris, I mean, they're both BU guys.
But I know they're both BU guys, but do you know that they like have a relationship and know each other?
Well, I would imagine that part of the. I mean, Chris has been a part of the front office for a while here.
I hope he stays. First, for two reasons. Firstly, I really like him, and secondly, I actually think he's a good coach.
No, I think he's a good coach, and he was put in a real tough spot though, Dave. In all honesty, because of how young this team is, and if all of a sudden you just find out now that the owner expected you to make the playoffs, like that's part of the reason why JD and Gorton are fired.
How could you have expected this team to make the playoffs?
I don't know, but obviously he did. So that's where the dysfunction starts. Like, I'm coaching a different way. Like, how many Rangers fans do we have? Even my Rangers buddies. Like, I'm on this text chat with a bunch of my buddies that are Rangers fans, and it's always like, well, how come Lafreniere's not playing on the top six line? How come he's not on the power play? How come this guy? And I'm like, guys, you know, Quinny's trying to win too. Like, this isn't all. It can't be all about developing the young players.
I think they've actually had a really good balance of that this season.
I think they've tried, and I think also there's a lot of things that went into this team not being in the playoffs this year. I mean, you had as soon as they reconfigured the divisions the way they reconfigured the divisions, the East is the toughest division in hockey right now.
And it's not close.
And it's not close.
I mean, you had D'Angelo. You had Shesterkin.
Yep.
You had Panarin.
Yep.
I mean, you had a
Zibanejad.
Lot of issues.
Zibanejad,
right, with the COVID, who clearly wasn't right for the first half of the season.
Hedel gets hurt.
That's right.
Quinn gets COVID. I mean, Keith Kincaid was playing goal for you.
And it's Keith a pandemic. Kincaid.
Exactly right. And it's a shortened season with everything going on. I mean, this wouldn't be the season that I chose to make
with you.
Huge sweeping
I would
changes.
Say you've done well enough that this guy is deserving of another chance here. Let's go to Joe in Scotch Plains. Good morning, Joe. You're on 98.7.
Hey, guys. I actually wanted to echo what that last caller said about you, Rick. I'm a huge Rangers fan, but I've become a big fan of yours. And,
I appreciate that,
Chris,
Joe.
Thanks for the Super Bowl ring.
My man.
And
what?
It's funny. Right after RJ put me on hold to talk to you guys, I was going to ask what you had a tweet about renewing vows. So, yeah, would you be up for renewing some vows?
Oh, well, let me first check with RJ. RJ, does vow renewal count as far as my 3 to 5 weddings performed?
I mean, we're walking down a pretty fine line here.
Well, I'm going to need an answer.
This is a huge mistake, Joe. Huge mistake.
Like that kind of party.
Joe, I will take your vow renewal so seriously. I will be ordained by the end of the week, and I will sit down with you and your lovely current bride, and we will knock this thing out of the park. But I need answers, RJ.
Yeah.
Does vow renewal count?
I should probably talk to her first.
I would ask her. I mean, that would be probably the wise thing
first,
to do.
Yes.
I don't think it does. I don't think it does, Dave.
It does not.
It's got to be the real deal.
RJ, I'm actually checking right now. I'm on... Caesars William Hill. It says 0% chance. 0% chance that Dave follows through on this. Zero.
No, this show's going to end. Dave's going to go watch Jeopardy and fall asleep, and that'll be the end of it.
I got to take Alex to school first.
Goodbye!
But that's true. I didn't even make it to Final Jeopardy last night, yesterday morning. I conked out.
I'm so sick of the West Coast games.
Oh, they're impossible.
And I'm so caught up in this Jack Ryan show, I can't even watch it.
How good is that? Huh?
Oh, my God. Show's I love it.
I should get involved in that, huh?
Oh, you haven't started Jack Ryan yet?
No.
Oh, it's phenomenal. He only got two seasons.
The guy from The Office?
Yeah.
He's good,
He's really good in it, too. Yeah, he's really good in it, too. And you only miss two seasons. You get right through it.
Oh, I can whip right through a show. I got time during the day when the kids are at school. All right, let's go to Hammer, our buddy in the Bronx. Hammer, you're next up on 98.7.
What's going on, guys? You're number one ultimate fan here, by the way. Just throwing it out there.
Wow.
Let's be real. As long as you guys have been on, I'm on average a couple of times a month to give you guys my opinions on things. I invited you guys to the wedding. Dave, you shot that down real quick.
Because, yeah, Sam, we all realize
I don't have any recollection of that. But I, you know what? Did you ask me to perform the wedding or just to attend as a guest?
No, I asked the three of you guys to attend, and we are officially 24 days away from the big day on Long Island.
All right, I'll officiate it. You want me to do your vows and stuff? I can do it.
I think the wife-to-be has already got the officiator covered. It would have been great to have you guys there as guests, though.
Get rid of him. By the end of the day, I will either be a Universal Life Church officiant or from the American Marriage Ministries, AMM. One of those two, I'll get rid of the other guy. I will take care of it.
So with the Mets right now, a couple of nights ago, I was a guest on my boys podcast, and he's asking me questions about the Mets. He's on the West Coast. I told him, with everything going on with the hitting, Chili Davis is going to be gone. I wake up the next morning, and he's gone. Everybody's so hard on Lindor right now with him batting, 153? I feel as a whole, the team is going to come around within the next few weeks. The first month to start the season was very, very rough, especially with the first opener. They were out four games of COVID with the Nats. You had all these rain delays, postponements, Colorado with the snow and everything. I think now things are going to slowly but surely settle in for them. I give it another 2-3 weeks, and the bats are going to get hot for all of them. The pitching has been pretty good. Lucchesi should not be on that roster right now. I'd rather have Yamamoto over him. We just have to believe and see how this plays out over the next couple of weeks. But I still think we're going to make a push for the playoffs. I think sky's still the limit with or without Rojas.
Yeah, listen, I mean, for your lips to God's ears. I mean, that's what we hope. And I think we all agree. And listen, I don't think people have been hard on Francisco Lindor at all.
No, he's been awful.
And he's been bad.
It better turn around in the next 2 to 3 weeks. If we get to Memorial Day and he's hitting 170, it'll be a really rough run for Lindor. But I think it'll get better. I agree. And the warm weather and the certainty of playing every single day as well. All right, Santi, on a Friday, why don't you go ahead and present the three stars of the day?
Today's three stars of DCR. Number three.
I'm going to start by saying I don't appreciate your tone right now.
You're going to be in observations next week,
disrespect.
My friend. You're going to be right in observations.
Well, continuing with the theme anyway. Star number three is going to go to the New York Rangers, and I'm not going to sit here and say that yesterday was a better day for the Rangers organization. It was a bad day. But you do have to appreciate how they came out, even though they kind of knew they were overmatched, not only just from the game aspect, but trying to match up in a physical fight with the Washington Capitals. I think they all knew what the outcome was going to be, but you do appreciate them all kind of standing up for each other. Guys like Brendan Smith, Ryan Strome, as mentioned. So, you know, it's a step in the right direction. You hope it's something they can build off of, and hopefully there's better things in the future.
Number two.
Okay, back on a lighter note. Number two's got to be the ordained Rick, who has somehow shoehorned his way into the RJ Santillo wedding.
It's disgusting.
Which I'm a fan of. I never knew that I needed something so badly in my life.
It's disgusting. It's so hurtful. It's incredible. Not that Rick's doing it, but the fact that we weren't even privy to this information until I stumbled upon it in a conversation with RJ yesterday.
Okay, but unlike you, I'm not being overly sensitive about it. I found
out.
You don't
even know what day of the week it
is, happy,
right?
I'm happy for everybody involved, and I moved on. But but what's great about it is that it gave us this.
Number one.
Which is the overly sensitive supremely jealous Dave Rothenberg, who's going to do anything for attention, because at the end of the day, that's what this all comes down to. You got jealous that he didn't come to you. You don't even qualify for this type of thing, that you're going all overboard to get all these weddings out of the way. You're making promises that you can, there in no way,
I'll keep them.
There's no way you can keep all these promises.
By the end of the day, I'll be ordained by the American Marriage Ministries, and I will do weddings, baby.
You
vows, weddings, I don't care, religion, sex, doesn't matter to me. I'm all in.
You're doing too much, and I'm worried about you.
I'm all in. Don LaGreca on KJZ in just moments. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
everybody.
98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.